You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Raritan Township Fire Company Ladies Auxiliary. Customers are encouraged to come out and enjoy a sub to support this important cause. This year, 2,500 coupons are being distributed by the volunteers at Raritan Township Firehouse, 303 South Main Street in Flemington, and are valid from the 19th to the 21st. Manager Corrine Stifler suggests customers can beat the line and order online at jerseymikes.com or call the store at 908-968-4198. Up to three coupons may be ordered will be accepted during the fundraiser. For Raritan Township Fire Company Ladies Auxiliary, we'll have some visuals around Jersey Mike's for education and reminders. Come by any time to learn about fire safety and make a donation. The Raritan Township Fire Company Auxiliary is dedicated to supporting its firefighters and the community they serve. They are always looking for new members. Meetings are held on the second Wednesday of every month at 7:30 p.m.
What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Because Rotary believes that by working together, you can do anything. This is District Governor Megan Jones Holt. Learn more about Rotary and join me every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Rotary Hour, the show that is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what Rotary is. Find us on the web at rotarynj.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
And good morning, and welcome to a new edition of Modern Design. We are in studio this morning, and let's take a look at the morning's weather and see what we have, see if we have sort of a mixed bag today or what we have coming up. Okay, the National Weather Service is telling me that it's currently 47 degrees, and let's see here. Today it's going to be sunny. It's going up to a high of 75, so today's going to be, I think, probably really one of the nicest days of the week. Tonight is going to be mostly clear with a low of 49 degrees. On Thursday, also going to be a nice day, mostly sunny. And then in the afternoon, there's a slight chance of showers, but similar high of 74 degrees. On Thursday night, there's a slight chance of showers with a low of 47. And on Friday, it looks like it's going to be sunny, but a change in temperature. The high is going to only be 58. And Friday night, mostly clear with a low of 34, which is pretty cold. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 58. So it looks like it's going to get a little bit colder during the end of the week. But we have a couple of nice days ahead of us. And if we have slow days, it might be nice to take a couple hours and head down to the beach. Don't you think, Stephen?
I agree. I should have taken my boat out of the water. It sounds like boating weather.
Oh, I didn't know you had a boat. That has consequences after you put that out there on the air. Well, good morning again. This is Modern Design. And my guest today is Stephen Taylor of Stephen Taylor Photography. He's been a guest on Modern Design before. And we're going to talk a lot about photography. You know, I go into a lot of homes, and a lot of homes are of young families, and what's more important than capturing a certain phase of life, because it changes so much, especially when you have children, and to be able to capture that image and have that. And as you and I have both said, they may go through stages that nobody wants those pictures, but there's going to become a time that everybody's going to want those pictures, because eventually they're considered heirlooms, and our whole perspective changes as we grow. So Stephen, why don't you introduce yourselves to our audience and tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and where you're located, and the interesting and unusual product that you represent.
Thank you, Richard. Well, it's always an honor and a pleasure to be on your show, and I'm glad to be back here again. My studio is in Burnsville, New Jersey. I've been doing portrait art for 30 years, and I have a little different slant on portrait art than most photographers. In fact, I don't even call myself a photographer anymore. I'm more of a portrait artist. And it really is a distinction. Most photographers these days is anybody who picks up a digital camera and shoots a wedding or a party or their family, and they take lots of fun and beautiful images that you will enjoy. But a portrait artist is a totally different take on it. So what we're trying to do is create fine art family portraiture in a classical style. Now, let's talk about classical style. What holds up over time? You think about something that's timeless. The black dress that a woman buys that never goes out of style. That's classical. Right. Classical music never goes out of style. Something that Renoir or Gainsborough, John Singer Sargent painted back years, hundreds of years ago, still is in style and still is worth more money these days. And that's another key, is that not only is it classic, but it holds up in value and actually grows in value. Now, a lot of what family portraiture does is might not grow in financial value, but grows in sentimental value.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's, I think, what you're talking about, Richard, when you said that. We may not have a lot of meaning for that today. We might look at the images, and you might have a teenager and is part of your family, and they might say, why do I have to do this, Mom? Really, do I really have to do this? Or a lot of times, I meet a lot of parents like, I don't even want to be in this picture. Your kids one day will have so much pleasure, 50 years from now, enjoying this family portrait.
Exactly.
And that's really what it's about.
And, you know, what you're selling is very different, and sometimes people say, well, you know, how is photography related to the home, and very much it is so, because what you're selling is art, and art for the home, I think, is essential, like anything else. And I think something like this is, again, timeless. It's an investment piece, but you're really selling a beautiful piece of art and something that people will come to treasure over time.
Yeah, and you being, you know, we're on a decor show here. I do wall art, so what I have found is that most photography, which is the average photographer, the images live where? Lives in an album,
right.
A wedding album. It could be
kind of hidden, right?
Kind of hidden, yeah.
Right.
Or a small image, maybe a 5x7 or 8x10. Well, wall art is part of your home decor.
Exactly.
So people who have a home with, they might have original artwork, or they may have even copies of original artwork. Typically, they're going to be 40-inch, 50-inch, 36-inch. They're going to be larger sizes, and they're going to be living. I use the word living because these images actually have a life to them.
A presence, yeah.
Yeah, a presence over a mantle. It
right.
might be in a formal dining room.
Right.
It might be in a formal living room.
Right.
So the portrait not only has to be done elegantly, and composition has to be done elegantly, that it's going to live in a prominent location in your home.
Sure.
But the image also has to look like an oil painting.
Exactly.
And that's what I do.
Exactly. What you have here in studio, and I've been saying this, I apologize to my listeners because we haven't gotten our act together yet as far as adding YouTube, but we will be adding YouTube to the station, and then you'll get to see in the next time. I'm hoping the next time you come visit us, we'll be well equipped with it. We might even have different color walls in here if I have my way about it. And we'll be equipped to show your pieces, because sort of hard to describe. They really appear as if more of a beautifully finished oil painting is what the end result is. For those of you that can't listen, a couple questions that I have for you is that the two pictures that I have now, one is of a beautiful family, and then there's one that's down. I think it was a lovely girl, a daughter or something like that. And I don't know if we covered on this. A lot of people are telling me they really are interested in having their pets photographed. That's very important to them. In fact, I had a client yesterday, Pam Goldman, who actually had called in on the show a couple of months ago, and she raises Bichon Frises, and that's what she's done. And now she's you know, gotten to an age where she's going to stop, and she has her last one that she really loves a lot, and she's thinking of a portrait done of him. And do you do pets as well, or is that very complicated?
Well, it's not very complicated. In fact, often the pets are better at posing than sometimes a two-year-old can be.
So, really?
Yeah. I had a woman come in the other day. It was a great experience. I never expected this from her. She had a King Charles Spaniel.
Okay.
Actually, the same dog I have. And we photographed Mr. Darcy, his name was. And when she came in, looked at the pictures, she was in tears crying. When I delivered the portrait to her,
right.
I got a huge hug from her. And it was like, wow. You know, people hold their pets. Sometimes it's a family member.
Often it is.
And because they don't have as long a lifespan,
right.
You know that if you don't do it soon, you want to have this remembrance. So horse is another thing. I have a terrible story of someone every year. She'd come, you have to photograph me and my horse. And finally the horse passed away, and she said, Steve, I should have done it 5 years ago.
Right.
And that's the biggest problem, is people hold off and wait because they think they could do it tomorrow.
Well, I think to get through life, a lot of times we just hold our heads down. We say we're invincible, but we're not, you know.
We're not. And a very sad story. I had a client this year that the husband passed away a couple months after the portrait. And when I delivered the portrait, it was a very touchy moment. We were all in tears. We were all crying together. And I've never seen someone so happy just to have this portrait now. And she said, you know, my husband didn't want to spend the money on this. And I forced him to spend the money and do it right.
Wow.
Because it is an investment. Right. To do it right is not a $200 investment. It could be in the thousands.
Right, but it really is, again, art is something that you invest in. It's something that's an heirloom. It's something that you would hopefully pass down to your children or however that follows, however your life is or what your family is. But I think that's one of the things that I would like to have. You know, one of the things that I was curious about, and I think we talked about when I was in your studio last, is do you ever do these portraits posthumously where somebody passes away? And now I know, for example, like my mother died very young. And, you know, I certainly wasn't of the mindset to do something like that. But as years passed, I thought, you know what, I really should have a portrait done of her that I could put over the fireplace just to make a presence in my dad's home. But it wasn't a resource that I could find. Now, you're not having someone pose. You're working off of a photograph. Is that something you've been requested to do or don't do? Or just curious about that.
I have done it. Restoration work, yes.
Okay.
I mean, some of the techniques... it's kind of like my secret sauce, the magic of what I do. But there are programs that we use that paint the images. So I could take an image and have it painted.
So you submit a photograph.
I scan it in.
Okay.
I do all of the artwork to it, which is retouching, cleaning it up, and getting rid of all the artifacts that things happen over the years.
Right.
And then we create a beautiful painting of it. And yes, you can do that.
Well, very nice.
Yeah. I don't suggest that with an amateur image.
No.
But if you have a really nice portrait.
Quality image.
It's something very special to have. Mm-hmm. And I've had people come in and hold up a portrait of a family member that passed away as part of their portrait. They just held that portrait next to them.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I think it's touching and it's a very nice thing to do. All right, we're just about to go to our first set of commercials, and we'll be back shortly with Stephen Taylor with more of Modern Design.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibby of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
And we are back with a Modern Design. My guest today happens to be Stephen Taylor of Stephen Taylor Photography. And I thought he was a very interesting guest to have in. He's been a guest here on Modern Design before, because what he does is a little bit different. One of the things that I think that I see as a trend is gallery walls, Stephen. I'm seeing that people want to capture images or multiple images of their family at different stages of their life, and they want to incorporate pictures of the grandparents and sometimes the great parents. That's why these online companies like Ancestry.com and stuff are becoming very popular, because I think parents are looking to give a connection to their children with a family tree and so on. And your pictures tell a story, so I think it's very valid that we do that. More and more, when I come to a project, especially if it's a young family, or sometimes one of my clients is an elderly woman that wanted her life story. So what I did was I had her gather pictures from throughout her life. I reframed all of them, and then I made her foyer entrance, two-story foyer entrance from floor to ceiling, her life. And when she walked into the room, the tears just came, because her whole life story was there to see all the time. And what she said to me is, these were all in a drawer for 35 years. Mm. And now there's my great-grandfather. There's my mother. There's my son. There's my husband that passed away. And it was her whole life. And I think that that's very valid and very much a part of what makes a home and not just sort of a box with sheetrock and metal and so on.
It's interesting you say that because a great portrait does make a home something very warm and very, very beautiful.
Right.
And it's amazing how many people, I look at their homes because this is what I do, and I walk around and I'm always looking, well, that would be a great wall for a portrait. And,
right.
And they don't have that. They have something that is not even related to them.
Or reflects who
or
they
reflects
are, right?
Who they are, yeah.
Right.
And we all know, we've heard these stories, when there's a fire, the first thing people take, other than their children and their pets, is their artwork of their family.
Sure.
And so we hold that to the highest value because in the end, what else do we have but a bunch of beautiful photographs, hopefully beautiful photographs.
Right.
And some people don't even have that. So it is something very valuable. And to have a wall that you could look at daily of your family is something I love doing, that sort of thing. And I've had people, like I said, I usually do one very special family portrait that'll fit in a very prominent place in their home where it's displayed every day, where they'll get remember the special moments they shared together, and that's a very precious thing to have. But then another wall, maybe going up their stairway, or another wall you're talking about, where we will do something different.
Exactly.
So I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I would say that the prominent places that I do see portrait photography, that beautiful frame portrait photography and artwork such as you have, would be either at a foyer entrance. Often there's something there over a fireplace, typically, often more in the formal rooms or sometimes in the family room or in the dining room. So I think those are some of the key places and ideal places. Let me ask you a question. What's a good background color for photography? Is there any sort of a general rule? What's a nice backdrop? I had a client in Pittstown, New Jersey, whose home I did last year, extensive renovation because they were having the son's wedding at home, and they had a lot of expensive artwork, and their walls were just sort of a neutral color, and I talked them into painting their dining room a very rich red, and they were just overjoyed with what it did to their artwork. It sort of just brought life to it. And I know your studio is a beautiful shade of red. Are there colors in general, or that color, or other colors that are good backdrops for the artwork that you represent?
Well, the red is a very rich color, and as we know, that years ago, hundreds of years ago, people could not afford pigments. So the richer the color you had, reds and deep greens showed
an air of money, right?
Important money, right, and how right. valuable they will be. So they always stand out as being the most valuable, beautiful colors for walls. I like to use, as far as my backdrops go, because of our skin tones,
right,
is I like to use a they call it old masters, like the old master painters use. It's a blue with different pinks and browns in it.
Oh, interesting.
And it's really beautiful. It really brings out the tones of the face.
Right.
And I always use a gold frame. Same thing with that. It also brings out the tones of the face. So that's really an important thing. And I like classical frames I have. So
most
frame
of your
is
frames
just as important.
Right. Most of your frames are very traditional.
Yeah.
Very elegant and very traditional. I was thinking that perhaps maybe the jewel tones in general would be good, you know, backdrop colors, whether you had a very rich dark blue or a very rich red or even a green or something that just rich jewel tones would probably be a good accompaniment to it.
So one of the way we start with a family portrait is we want to know all about your family. We want to know personalities.
Right.
But beyond that is the clothing.
Right.
Most important thing, if someone is too bright, too busy, who's going to stand out from that portrait?
So you actually dress the people.
Oh, of course.
All right. So let's take the process. You got a little ahead of me there.
Yeah,
but that's
okay.
Good. Let's take the process. Someone says, you know what? My kids are out of an age that I want to capture this moment because I know in 10 minutes they're going to be different. And I want to have this moment right now where they're all basically still kids. So they call you up. What's the first thing you do?
Well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to start to customize a bespoke tailor-made product.
Okay.
Stephen Taylor Portraits, the tailor-made, right?
Right.
What we're going to do is we're going to start to talk about who's in the family, ages.
Right.
We want to know that. A 2-year-old is very difficult to photograph.
Oh, I'd imagine so.
But once they get to be 3.5, 4 years old, it becomes a peak age. I had someone call me today, said, should we do it now? We're 4 and 6. I said, they're going to lose that youthful childhood look if you don't do it now.
Right.
Do
right.
it now.
Right.
So that's the first part. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about clothing.
Okay.
So the jewel tones are very beautiful. I tell people, with you don't want the clothing to win the image. You don't want that to be prominent. You want your faces to be.
See, I'm looking at the picture behind you. Which I wish we had our camera in, because it's a nice backdrop to you talking. But I noticed that the whole family are in solid color. So yeah. Do you often recommend solid colors exclusively for a portrait?
I tell people to lay the clothing out on the floor or on the bed and squint. And if one particular item stands out because it's stripes, because it's too red or bright, that's what you're going to see.
Yeah.
And what do we want to see? We want to see our beautiful faces.
Right.
I even tell women, if you could do long sleeve or three quarter, because the more arms that you show... And that one over there, you could see her arms.
Right.
A lot of people were uncomfortable with their arms.
Right.
I had to do a lot of artwork to make her arm really look great. So
right.
I had to thin her out a little bit.
Right.
Which is what we do all the time.
It's good that we don't have a video yet. She's a lovely looking woman.
No, but she looks lovely there. Right. But I had to do a little bit of artwork.
Okay.
Which I do for everybody anyway.
Right.
Because
right.
I really want people to look spectacular. How do you want to be remembered? And that's what we talk. We work backwards. How do you want to be remembered?
I think the key word is thinner.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to say put 10 pounds
of
on
course.
It.
Of course.
All right. So let's go through the process. So again, they make the phone call, you let them know about the clothing, preferably, and I don't want to paraphrase what you're saying, which is I guess what I'm doing, is that solid clothing is probably better. Are dark colors rather better? Because I see most of your subjects are in dark clothes, and then you have the young girl who's in white.
Yeah. Well, again, what stands out? So navies, burgundies, those kind of colors, forest green, work well. And also it's got to work with the key of the background. So background is blue versus a brown background.
Right.
Brown, you could do khakis and you could do brown shirts.
Right, right, right. So is there a preferred... See, I always say, because I have a lot of blue in my business on my business card, my studio, the walls in the studio I'm in now are sort of a rich navy. And I think I like navy because it's... I'm trying to think of what I'm wearing today. I'm in black. Because to me, navy is the universal color of beauty. You can be a redhead, navy looks terrific. You could have white hair, navy looks terrific. You could be a tow-headed blonde, it looks terrific. You could be African-American, navy still looks terrific. It really kind of is sort of a universal attractive color, don't you think?
I have two black backdrops in my studio, and the one I use 95% of the time is a navy to its royal blue.
Blue, yeah.
Exactly, because people look best because of our skin tones.
Right, right.
It always looks good. Even if you're a person of color, it looks good.
Right, right. It's a good balance.
It's a great balance. It doesn't take away from the image. You don't even see it. It's just sort of there. It sort of blends in with it.
So now you have this beautiful studio. And where are you located in Bernersville?
I'm right in the center in Olcott Square, 3 Olcott Square, right in the center of Bernersville.
And can you give us a phone number and a website that people can go
908-696-1100 is the number. And the website is Stephen, spelled with a PH, Taylor Photo, stephentaylorphoto.com.
Great. And then, the studio has been set up to be really, to emulate a home, if you will. So it's done in the jewel tones. It's done with furniture that maybe makes it look more like a home than their home. Do some people prefer to have the pictures taken in their own home, or do you prefer to have them in studio?
Okay, two different philosophies, and I do both.
Okay.
So the reason why the studio looks like a home is I need people to imagine where this image is going to live in their home. So when they see an image, I have a fireplace in my studio. I have a beautiful sofa. I have a settee. These are the kind of things that people have in their home. I want them to be able to vision, because people have trouble visioning. You as a designer, I'm sure you realize that all the time. They can't envision things, but if they see it over something, I've got a fireplace like that.
Right.
That's the proper size to do.
Right.
So that's really an important thing, is that you have that kind of thing. Now, let's talk about the two philosophies. You can bring a family into the home and surround them by who they are, which is their home and all their toys.
Right.
And I've done people with Ferraris, and I've done things like that, people with their horses. We do it all. Or you could bring them into the studio and capture the whole world within their eyes.
Okay.
The beauty of the studio portrait is I control the lighting.
Right.
I don't have to worry about what time of day it is. What's the background going to look like? Is it going to rain? We're in the studio. We control the lighting. And they're close-up images.
Right.
So now you really capture the true personality, as opposed to this beautiful home maybe, and the people are small in it, or there's a backyard with a barn and it looks gorgeous. I have lots of them.
But it might be conflicting or not. You're not getting the subject matter because the background is, what's the word? It's distracting, isn't it?
It's beautiful but distracting. So people have that choice to do that with me, but it is distracting. So I tell people the studio portrait, it's much easier. There's less of a time commitment for you to do because people are busy these days. But more importantly, it really captures the true essence of the family's relationship, because that's all you have is that family. You don't have this beautiful home behind them.
you're just focusing on the subject matter. That's a valid point. Let's talk about something else that you had mentioned, which I only learned because last, no, actually it was this year, I was, we did a photo shoot for one of the homes I did here in Flemington, and it was a New Jersey Design magazine. So there was a 3-day photo shoot, and I had a photographer and lighting and budget, and it was great. Life can only be like that.
Yeah.
But what I learned a lot is when you're photographing in someone's home or photographing in general, sunny is like not the best conditions to photograph. Isn't that in fact true?
That's exactly true. And
tell our listeners about that, because I think there's a big misnomer yeah. about what the best lighting is and the best conditions for optimal photography. Sunny, when we shot for 3 days, and the second and the third day were slightly cloudy, which the photographs were beautiful. The first day was quite sunny, and it was very difficult to get certain shots. Tell us why that is and what the optimum lighting is to get the subject matter correct.
So number one, we want to flatter our subjects. Everybody wants to look wonderful and great. And
right.
obviously retouching could do that, but that's not the goal. Your goal is really want to start it with something very beautiful.
Right.
So the best light is soft light.
Right.
So in the middle of the day at 2:00 in the afternoon, the lighting is harsh.
Okay.
Go outside, you can see the shadows.
Right.
Look at the shadows under your eyes, on the side of your face. It's awful looking.
Right, right, right.
So cloudy is good because there are no shadows because it's soft light.
Right.
But it also has no color to the light. It's very gray.
Right, right.
So the best lighting is about an hour before sunset.
Wow.
And when it gets very orange and very
right,
warm.
Right.
And because it has a lot of, you know, a lot of diffusion light because the sun's going down and it's at a part of the earth where there's a lot of diffusion, it's soft, warm light. And that
right.
is what we call God's light. It
wow.
is the most wonderful
Full
light.
Time.
Yeah, so that's when you want to do it, about an hour before sunset or right around sunrise if you can get up that early.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I'm a big fan of the beach, and I've always said the most beautiful time of the beach is not midday, it's not 2 in the afternoon. It's just about, you know, at the end of the day, it's that late day of the beach where the sun is sort of closer, it seems like it's closer to the earth at that time, and there's like warm gold tones. Everybody looks more beautiful. There's very much something to that.
And you'll see a lot of portrait artists out there doing their family portraits and portraits at that time.
Okay. All right. Well, just about to go to news, and we'll be back with more of Modern Design and Stephen Taylor Photography.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. An NYPD officer is dead after being shot in the line of duty last night. He's identified as 33-year-old Randolph Holder. At a late-night news conference, Police Commissioner Bill Bratton talked frankly about the loss of Holder and three other cops in recent months.
4 police officers murdered in 11 months. It's about as bad as it gets.
Holder had responded to a report of a bicycle stolen at gunpoint in East Harlem. It looks like Congressman Paul Ryan might become the next Speaker of the House. The Wisconsin Republican has said he'll consider the position if his colleagues agree to his conditions. He said his children's well-being made him reluctant to jump into the race initially. However, he says he decided in favor of a run because of what might happen if he didn't. New Mexico police say a 4-year-old girl is dead after a road rage incident in Albuquerque. The little girl was shot when gunfire broke out along I-40 yesterday. Toyota is recalling 6.5 million vehicles worldwide, including more than 2.5 million in North America. The recall is to fix a defect in a power window switch. This is USA Headline News.
Musicians, it's back. Guitar Center's massive price-slashing once-a-year blowout event, Rocktober. Don't miss the monstrous savings on guitars, drums, keys, DJ, pro audio, and more. Get a Mitchell acoustic guitar for just $99 or $200 off a Simmons electronic drum set, now just $4.99. Skip the party store and get everything you need to amp up your Halloween at Guitar Center with DJ quality black lights and laser effects or a 400-watt fog machine, just $29 each, Thursday through Sunday only at Guitar Center. Boop.
Did you know the government is scheming to seize your retirement and bank accounts? Hi, David Fisher, CEO of Landmark Capital Gold Group. Get the facts in a white paper called How to Protect Your Retirement and Bank Accounts from Government Seizure. Transfer your 401k or IRA into physical gold and silver and take possession with no tax liability. Call Landmark Capital at 844-715-7311. That's 844-715-7311 or landmarkgold.com.
Planned Parenthood of South Texas is promising to fight a decision by the state to defund the organization.
Planned Parenthood altered the abortion procedure in order to obtain fetal tissue. This violates both federal law as well as state law.
That's Texas Governor Greg Abbott telling Fox News that Planned Parenthood has some very serious legal issues with his state.
The Inspector General for the Medicaid system here in the state of Texas has uncovered several legal violations by Planned Parenthood that will allow Texas to end the contract that Planned Parenthood has with the state of Texas.
Planned Parenthood CEO Jeffrey Hahn says the state is making the wrong decision because the poorest of the poor go to their facilities for abortions, claiming it's just, quote, mean-spirited political extension of a smear campaign from over the summer. Hahn is referring to the videos released by the Center for Medical Progress, which appear to show officials agreeing to sell baby body parts for profit. The American Cancer Society is updating its mammogram recommendations. Instead of age 40, the organization said you should start getting mammograms at age 45. This is USA Headline News.
You hear that, kid? That's the hum of a well-run facility. You know what I hate hearing? Silence. Silence on a production line means downtime. Downtime means wasted time. Wasted time means wasted money. Silence isn't golden, kid. It's deadly. That's why I love Grainger. With a wide variety of the latest products, Grainger gets us what we need when we need it to help keep this place up and running and humming away. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The American Cancer Society is adjusting its recommendations when it comes to women getting mammograms. The organization says women should get annual mammograms starting at age 45 instead of the previous recommendation of 40. Dr. Christine Ritzk, a surgeon at Stony Brook University's Carol M. Baldwin Breast Care Center, says that's really confusing to a lot of people.
We have the American Cancer Society now suggesting mammograms at 45, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists recommending it at 40. So there are many mixed messages.
Once women reach the age of 55, the American Cancer Society says they should get mammograms every other year. The guidelines say women should continue getting mammograms as long as they're healthy or until their life expectancy falls below 10 years. Dr. Christine Ritzk says it should be easier if experts were on the same page about when women should undergo a mammogram.
I think this is a really confusing and dangerous message that we're sending women and their healthcare providers. We have three different groups now saying three different things. We have the task force suggesting mammograms at 50. We have the American Cancer Society now suggesting mammograms at 45. And, of course, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists recommending it at 40.
Scientists now believe every living dog has a common ancestor that lived in Central Asia some 15,000 years ago. A new study done by Cornell scientists sampled DNA from dogs in 38 different countries and paired the findings with fossil records. Researchers enacted the same techniques that were used to pinpoint human origins to East Africa. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
And we are back in studio with Modern Design. If you're listening to my show for the first time today, my name is Richard Scuderi. I've been an interior designer for 18 years now. I am located right here in the center of Flemington at the Kitchen Expo Plaza. That's 1 U.S. Highway 31 in Flemington, New Jersey. Phone number 908-884-0770, 908-884-0770. Come see me if you're looking to get some fresh ideas for your home or you want to do a renovation, a kitchen, a bathroom. We can handle all that for you. Or come into our showroom. We have a 2,500 square foot showroom who I share my space with John from Rook to Riches. So we have everything from furniture pieces and accessories to beautiful rugs and hardwood floors and things of that nature. My guest today is Stephen Taylor of Stephen Taylor Photography. And we're talking about portraits, creating portrait art and beautiful investment pieces, portrait photography in your home. So before we had gone to news break, we were talking about the process of somebody saying, okay, my kids are the right age. I want to do this. I want to come in studio. And Stephen was telling us how you should dress. Solid colors are probably best. The jewel tones look well on people. What's the next step in the process of this beautiful portrait that we're going to end up with?
Well, it's really important that people really understand why they're doing this. So most people do it because they want to have something special to remember their family by.
Right.
The other part that's important is the decor part.
Okay.
So it's great to do this and make this investment. You don't want it to live in your closet.
Right.
And I hear that all too often that somebody did a portrait for them and they hate it.
Right.
They didn't like the way the artwork was done. It looks too Hollywood looking.
Right.
They don't feel there's enough expression of their children. It doesn't look like their family.
Right. It doesn't represent them.
Doesn't represent them.
Right.
So we want to do two more things we need to look at is where is it going to live? So we need to do some of the design based on where it's going to be displayed.
So do you go to their home before you take the picture?
I've done that. Mm. But often my software is so awesome. Mm. What it has the ability to do is I tell people to take a photograph of their different parts of the rooms.
Right.
So it might be a room with a mantle or a room with a piano.
Right.
Or a room with a sofa. And they photograph that room. And then they email me that image.
Right.
After I do their photographs, I then have the ability to superimpose their new image in their room.
Oh.
On my wall.
Right.
I have a projector and a screen.
Right.
And I can project a life-size image of their room. And I could size the image from all different sizes with my computer program and say, which is the where's the sweet spot? So I'll look at the image and I'll say, that is the perfect size.
Right.
So we don't go by how many inches. We go by which size feels right.
Do you also position your people partially based upon, of course, the subject matter, but partially based upon where it's going to sit?
Yes.
Okay.
So, for example, let's say we're doing a single portrait of each of their children.
Right.
We want them to be looking at each other. So we'll face one left and one right so that we place it on the wall.
Okay.
Is the wall basically a wall that is butts against another wall?
You
don't want the people looking that way. So
right.
That is also an important thing if you know that. Not everybody knows that. But
right.
Usually the more information I can get, I am their consultant. I'm a designer. I'm with
right.
you on it.
Right.
You know,
right.
We're in a similar industry.
Well, you're looking at with an artful eye of how to present people.
Exactly. And now, coloring too.
Now, when you do a group, when you have a big family, 8 people, 7 people, mm-hmm. whatever, is there sort of an art to how you place the people?
There's a lot of different artistry, and a lot of it has to do with geometry.
Okay.
Triangles are very important.
Okay.
Our mind, the way our mind works, we like to look at triangles.
Well, this, I'm noticing behind you, is a triangle.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's very powerful, a triangle. And think about a triangle. It's if you want to, if you're building a bridge, you always have triangles because the most power is in a triangle.
Right.
Family, you want to show the power.
Right.
Another thing is, who, I hate to sound sexist, but usually the man is the stronger, the larger one.
Right.
You don't want him to look very weak. You
right.
don't. You want him to look a little more prominent.
Right.
You don't want, if the wife wants to be a little bit more... she doesn't want to be the broad-looking subject in it, which
right.
she doesn't want to look.
Demure, maybe.
Demure, right. That's
right.
the right word. Okay. We want to place her in a way that she looks that.
Right.
I remember doing a consultation with somebody, and they were doing a portrait of the 3 boys, and says, my oldest boy is a quarterback on a football team, and he is the dominant one. I do not want him sitting. I say to her, then we want him standing. We want him to look larger than the other boys.
Right.
Because he's the one, he's the caretaker.
Right.
I had one family one time, they would have never bought a portrait unless we knew this ahead of time, that the father always likes to put his arms, he's a big guy, around the whole family and just cuddle them.
Right.
And so when we did the portraits, we made sure that he was the prominent one with his arms around people because that's how they remembered it.
Right.
So that is really important too, or people will not feel like it's their family.
Exactly.
They'll feel like they were a cookie cutter.
Exactly. Is there a ratio, because I'm just looking at the picture, is there a ratio of how much should be background and how much should be subject? I mean, is there something that goes into that, some sort of a formula?
Yeah.
Or is it also just your eye, too?
Well, it's definitely your eye, 99% of it, of what feels right.
Right.
And this is, you know, photography and portraiture, there's a lot of logistics and mechanics going, but in the end, it's an emotional feel purchase.
And it's also subjective, I think, right?
It's extremely subjective.
Right,
you
right.
can never be insulted if someone says, I don't like this, I don't like that. I work with people, I make it work to have it really be beautiful. Because
right.
when they come in and they see the original piece untouched, the first thing I really look like that? And I tell them we use 3-dimensional lighting. It, every nook and cranny shows out. Digital photography.
Oh, that sounds a little scary.
Oh, yeah. Digital photography is very unflattering.
Oh, yeah.
It really shows everything.
Right,
and,
right.
And so when I'm done with it, it takes sometimes 3 to 4 months for me to do the artwork on a piece.
Right.
They will look like the best they've ever looked, and natural too.
But also to look like them still, right?
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about that process then. So then you go from the fact that you're prepped, they're in your studio, you take the photography. How long are they typically in studio if you do a family?
No more than 30 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. That's what you're going to say, a couple of hours.
It could be 10 minutes.
Really?
You don't need a lot.
You just need to capture the right image.
Exactly.
So you're not in studio that long. Then what's the next step? Do they get proofs back that are untouched?
So I will say that, okay. And I tell people this, 90% of what I'm doing is not taking pictures. I might only take 20 images. It's getting the adjustments right, the details. What makes a great portrait is in the details. And I'm sure the same thing with decor.
Right.
You could buy beautiful big pieces of furniture, but it's all in the little details. That
right,
really
how you finish it.
Makes a house a home.
Exactly.
So it's all about the hands. It's the gestures. It's the feeling. So that all has to be right. The next step is they're going to come back And hopefully they'll have some photographs of their home with them. Mm-hmm. And I'll insert that in the computer and they're going to view their images. We don't do any digital proofing. They don't get any physical proofs. It's a one-shot deal. They come in, they look at it.
But at that point, the people are physically unretouched, right?
Physically unretouched. Right. I show them what can be done.
Okay.
I have a portrait.
Good timing. Sorry.
I have a portrait of an unfinished. Mm-hmm. I have a portrait of a finished, and they see what could be done. They're like, oh, yes, you're going to take great care of me. That's where it is. So I say, let's not look at the faces. Let's look at the pose.
Right.
I can always swap a face. Many times there's a face in picture number two that they love better, but they don't like the pose. We'll move that face from number two to number five. And they love number five. They fall in love with it, the puppy. And then we'll talk about framing. We'll talk about sizing. And it's a whole, you know, process after that.
Right. All right. So now you have the backdrop in. You're good to go with it. Then you start retouching?
The next step is I do my magic sauce, which is I work with people. And I'm the director. Mm-hmm. So I have people all over the world that I work with that are the top people that are artists, mm-hmm. that work on the images, mm-hmm. that do all the artwork, make sure that it looks natural, but yet everybody looks really special and gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And then we do enhancements. So if it's an image I have behind you here, you see with the flowers.
Right.
That one was actually, we use different painting effects to it. So we actually paint it, or we actually oil paint them. We actually take, everything's printed on old master's canvas.
Right.
Just as if you were to go up to an oil painting and you put your finger on it, it would have a little thump.
Right.
It bounces because it's material.
So it would cloth. Just be the same texture.
It's cloth, yeah.
Right, okay.
Some of them are mounted on masonite like these are. They're more durable.
Right.
And some of them are on stretcher board, meaning they're not as durable, but they're the actual fine art pieces. And from there, they're actually painted. Some of them are actually painted where an artist with brush and oil paints on top of it. So now you're getting an authentic oil painting of your family, and it's a lot less money than spending the $50,000 to have someone paint your family.
Exactly. What are some of, and I'm sure you have good stories, and we don't have to give any names out, or you can if you want to, but of people that have gotten their images back and strange requests they've had for you, or requests that they have in general. What do people ask for?
Well, you know, usually the weight is a big issue for most people.
Weight.
So,
okay.
I mean, I had somebody who was probably 300 pounds, and we brought it probably down to about 200 pounds.
Okay.
You don't want to go too far.
Too bad you can't do that in real life. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's one thing. I always say what we do is the realism. It's a marriage between the realism of photography and the artistry of an oil painting. And when you merge the two together, they look like an oil painting. And like we talked about the home, I saw an opportunity here when I went into the homes of New Jersey that people were not putting photographs in the homes. They were putting original artwork or copies of artwork. So I said, if I can create portraits.
It's true. What you're saying is quite true, yeah. That, and it's sad that they don't have that.
That complements the decor of their home, which is a true oil painting.
Right.
Then people are going to put in their home. And look, you could have a beautiful painting of a scene, or you can have a beautiful painting of your photo of your family. What are you going to think of every day? You can remember the special times you shared together with your family when you see a family portrait, and how special and how valuable is that? Priceless.
No, it's very much true, and there is a need for that. I do see people, even of means, that just don't have that. That don't have that representation of their family in the home because they think, you know, they don't think of something like this, which is quality. They think of that sort of tacky image that, you know, you take at the mall and they blow up and they put in on the wall. This is really taking it to a different level. It's a sophisticated portrait. It's like an oil painting. It's an heirloom piece, and it's a very different way to look at it. And I think it completes a home. That's very much true.
Yeah, there was one client that you introduced me to that had a studio portrait done, and they were not happy about it.
Right.
Whoever did it, and nothing about the photography. But I said, when I went to the home, I said, "You folks do some beautiful landscaping here. You love flowers. Let's redo this portrait in your backyard with who you are."
Right.
And for them, that works. And they'll display that in a home if we do that.
Oh, absolutely. And what you said is true, too, about people spending thousands of dollars of having a portrait taken, and it's been in their drawer for years. And if you're going to make the investment, you want to go to somebody like yourself who's a professional who's going to do it right. All right. Well, listen, we're just about to go to some commercials to pay for the show. And we'll be back shortly with Stephen and more of Modern Design.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Good evening, this is Dr. Black and my pal Igor. We want to invite you to visit us at the Haunted Village at the Red Mill in Clinton, New Jersey. Come by to have a cup of hot tea with me on October 9th, 10th, 16th, 17th, 23rd, and 24th. Tickets are on sale online at theredmillhauntedvillage.org. The prices are $30 for regular admission and $45 for express. Don't forget to scare up a coupon from our local merchants. We hope to have you soon.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provide sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, ceremony officiant with CelebrationOfALifetime.com. I joined the Chamber so I can get to know you and what you're all about, and I hope you want to get to know me and what I'm all about. Then we can celebrate what we can do to make Hunterdon County better.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. I have as my guest Stephen Taylor, and we're talking about real portrait photography and artwork. When we were off air, we were talking about, you referred to yourself again as...
A portrait artist.
Portrait artist, because this really is art. It's absolutely beautiful. And as I say, I'm anxious for us to get our YouTube channel so you can see, we can display some of these. And, have you see how beautiful they are. Could you all have been told the other one up? I'm kind of curious about that one before we transition to a slightly different topic. Is it easier to photograph a single person as it is to, or is it easier to do a group as in the family? I'm kind of curious of which one is easier and how you center that when it's one person and so on.
Well, obviously one person is going to be easier because you're working with one expression and you're really working with them.
Okay.
And I work, I'll do a lot with children, and I always suggest with children, do them separately, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
The main reason is 30 years from now, 40 years from now, when they get older.
Right.
And once you get in your 50s, you start to become very sentimental.
Right.
You're going to want to take a portrait of yourself and be able to give it to your family.
Right.
I don't have one myself as a child, but I have one of my wife. I cherish that one. She was 13 years old. She had a portrait done by a portrait artist. And it's canvas. We have it framed. It's in our home. And we love it. But she probably didn't enjoy it when she was 13, 14 years old. But now that she's in her, later on, she loves it.
Wonderful. That's a beautiful picture as well.
Yeah. So singly is a good idea to do them singly.
Right. So, Stephen, I want to transition a little bit and talk about, how you do your business, because what your product is, it's very specific. It's very unique. It's really art. It's not photography. It's really more of art, if I could paraphrase a little bit. How do you get your clients? What things do you do to sort of market that? And do you have any sort of programs that you offer to maybe even businesses or things of that nature? How do you get your clients? What do you do?
Sure. Well, obviously, I have a very special gallery, beautiful studio right in the center of the town of Bernardsville downtown where people come in. They know me for that. But most people find me through a very unique way. And I don't believe in advertising. I don't like to spend a lot of money in advertising dollars. I do some. I'd rather give that money to organizations and foundations and charity organizations. So people that are running gallery events. You go to auctions all the time. They're usually at beautiful hotels for hospitals. They could be for diseases, for children's schools. the best offer preschools and private schools. They all run gala events. And I always auction off items, and I auction off a $3,000 item. And people buy them. And usually the starting bid's $199 for a $3,000 portrait sitting. And so that's a big winner for charities. We've raised over $4,000 already this month for charities.
Isn't that wonderful?
Isn't that great? So I'd rather give the money that way because it brings clients to my door.
Right.
They may order other images for themselves. They'll tell their friends for sure about what we do and get some referrals. So it's a great way, rather than spending $50,000 a year on advertising, I can give the money back to charities locally here in New Jersey, and people will come through my door here and get to see what we do. That's the first one.
Wonderful.
Yeah. The second one I do is I do a gifting, a loyalty program. I have found that businesses love to keep their clients coming. The best way to keep people coming through your door are through existing clients. And the best way to keep existing clients coming through your door again is gifting them. So I do a gifting program for their clients of a portrait session as well.
Right. And why don't you be, because even the first time you had offered it to me, it was so almost like too good to be true. I had to sort of process it. So tell us how you do that.
Well, basically what I do is I hook up with local businesses who mm-hmm. value their clients, and we send out an invitation for a portrait sitting and a 14-inch piece worth $3,000. And the businesses, we send it out from the business, and it's a gift from them.
Right.
And so,
and I think the big deal about this is that it doesn't cost the business any money.
Right. Well, you know, it depends how they want to work it, right. But usually it doesn't cost the business any money. It's an opportunity for them to give a gift out and for the clients to really appreciate that.
And then the client gets this $3,000 value, beautiful portrait, 14-inch portrait. And it doesn't cost them any money.
And they always call back the business and say, thank you so much. And hopefully they go back there and shop again.
Right. But I think once they see your work and the quality of what you do, and also what you do, which I think is still to some people sort of not sure exactly, because it really, really reflects more of an oil painting, an image, you know, a beautiful image. When they see the quality of it, you're certainly going to get more work out of it. And when someone hangs that in your home, it's sort of like with what I do. I'll do a beautiful dining room for somebody, and then when those people or that woman, not to be sexist, but that woman has a dinner party, you get four more phone calls of people that want you to do something. So I think the same thing must be true. You'll do this beautiful portrait. It goes into somebody's house, and then all of a sudden you're getting the phone calls.
Exactly. This is a visual product just like you do. So it's a really a great opportunity to meet new people through the visual product of it.
So if you do have a business in New Jersey and you're looking to connect with you, what's the best way to reach you about this, the program, the value program that you offer?
Call me at 908-696-1100. Or if you're just looking to have a portrait done of your family, don't wait. That's the only suggestion I have. People wait too long, and either the kids are not kids anymore, or they grow up and they just don't want to do it anymore, or God forbid something happens to someone in the family member, and then just don't know.
It's nice that you have it. We have a couple more minutes left, so I wanted to talk a little bit about something that I always find interesting, and I think our listeners find interesting, is that what are some of the things when someone wants to take their best picture, because I think most people are very critical of their own image, their own voice. In fact, when I do Modern Design every Wednesday, the following day when it goes to podcast, I usually send people an image, a file of the podcast so they can listen to their show. And they're like, oh, I don't want to hear my own voice. And I will be honest with you, it took me a while doing this for a living and being a big ham that I am, that I can do that and sort of stomach it and go beyond it. But I would think when someone is looking at a picture, you know, a cold image of themselves, it could be difficult for people. And sometimes people's judgment can be skewed. Have you come across people that said, oh, you know, I look that, and that's just not really even true? Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of psychology. There's a lot of self-esteem issues. There's a lot of stuff that goes with having your picture taken, don't you think?
Exactly. So let's talk about that. So Number one is the mother is the one who's going to make the decision,
right.
And she always has to look good,
right? Right.
Because she's always critical of herself,
right.
And she should be, because you know people are critical about themselves.
Do some people get their picture back and they're like, "Wow, I look gorgeous," automatically, and they don't want to say, "Well, can you touch this up?" Or can
usually the first response is, "We want one of each."
Okay.
Until they hear the price.
Right.
But really. Then people, after they see that, they become critical. So here's what it's about. To me, it's about the gut feeling, what you see first.
Right.
Because that's what it's really about.
Right.
Then the next step, as our mind works, is we find out what's wrong with it.
Right.
And that's where it starts to happen.
Right.
That's where it starts to break down. Well, remember, you always have to bring them back to the first opinion, because when people look at it, they're not going to be critical. They're going to look at that first aha that you got.
Right.
Oh, yes. The other part is it's got to be composed right. And that's the difference between a portrait artist and a photographer.
Right.
Everyone's a photographer these days, but 99% of those photographers do not know how to pose people. I watch it all the time.
Well, I'm just looking, you know, because you're the perfect shot, if we had a camera here, of how your backdrop. And I'm seeing everything that you said, true to form, the colors, the blocking, the faces that come forward, the triangle. It's all there.
Yeah.
You know, it's very representative of what you had just
said. I can take 20 to 30 pounds off a person immediately by
just
posing them.
Do it now. Can you do it?
I can make people look younger immediately by the lighting.
You know, you had said that to me before, and you said you can make them look lighting. Is it less lighting or more? No, I guess less lighting.
Softer lighting.
Okay.
Get rid of wrinkles.
Okay.
And then let's say you have a white face.
Right.
So I use what I call three-quarter lightings. We put a shadow on one side. Now your face would just got cut down by one third, 33%.
Now, what if someone has a thin face?
Thin face, you do more direct lighting. You widen the face a little bit.
Isn't that
so? A portrait artist knows the rules of portraiture. That's what makes a great portrait artist.
What's some general tips, though, for people? I think a lot of people are uncomfortable with their own image. So, what's some general things that people can do to be more photogenic? I've seen people. I think we all have seen people that are very good looking. And their pictures are awful. And then I've seen some people that are not necessarily good looking and their pictures are fantastic. And I've spent my life thinking, what is the reason that this person who is not necessarily, you know, classically attractive looks like a movie star right. In her pictures, and this person who is gorgeous doesn't right. Show? What is that? Is that confidence? Is that something inside? Is that a combination of coloring or body type, or what is that?
Well, that's why I got into classical portraiture, because classical portraiture, as people look best, it is that look, that Hollywood look of people, or the look of Renoir.
Right.
So let's talk about that.
Right.
Three things to think about: lighting, soft right. Lighting. We talked about that earlier.
Right.
Number two, posing. Most people, the biggest mistake in photography when they take a picture straight on, turn 45 degrees to the camera.
45.
You just lost 30 to 40% of your body weight.
Okay, 45 degrees to the camera. I'm writing it down.
Men,
right,
are usually want to look broader. They want to have broader shoulders, so they might
be straight into
the camera.
Just to here,
right? So they might be a little more straight, but a woman is always turned 45 degrees from the camera.
Okay,
because it now cuts out a third of her body.
And you told me something that I found very interesting: that necessarily a big smile is not the best for our picture, right? Tell our listeners that, because that's like key.
Yeah. So the third part is hand placements. But
I'm sorry,
We look best when we smile through our eyes. So
okay.
If you look at any European portrait done by any of the famous artists,
right. They're
smiling through their eyes. Their lips are soft and closed. In fact, there's a Tyra Banks video on YouTube about how to smile through your eyes.
Wow.
And basically, people look best when they smile. Two things happen. Their teeth open up, and
right. Now
their white teeth are competing with their beautiful eyes. We want to see the eyes, not their teeth.
And also, people pick up, I think, sometimes lines and wrinkles when they smile.
Their
right? Eyes
get smaller and their lips right. Get tighter.
Right.
The lips are fuller when it's closed and more beautiful, and the eyes are more open and
I
more beautiful.
100%.
So people look best when they don't have a big smile. But in America, we all want to look happy. But you can look happy with your lips closed.
So smile with your eyes. That's an unbelievable tip. All right, Steve, believe it or not, we're at 10:58. We're at the end. I want us one more time to tell us all your information on how we get in touch with you, because your product is absolutely beautiful and worth exploring for sure. How can we get in touch with you one last time?
Stephen Taylor for Portraits, 3 Olcott Square in Burnsville, New Jersey. That number is 908-696-1100. My website is Stephen, spelled with a P-H, Taylor Photo, StephenTaylorPhoto.com.
Stephen, you've been a wonderful guest. I've learned so much today. I'm always going to turn to the side. I don't care. I want to make sure that I don't smile too much. All right. Well, listen, thank you for listening to our show today. Next week, we're going to have Dennis Wiest. We had some issues last week with our programming, so we're going to broadcast Stephen. He is the area head of Graber Home Fashions, and we're going to talk again about window treatments and what you can do to improve your home. So until I see you next week, enjoy the week. It looks like the weather's going to be nice, and I'll see you next Wednesday right here at Modern Design on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Thank you, and have a great day.
USA Headline News, I'm Ron Taylor. An NYPD officer is dead after being shot in the line of duty last night. He's identified as 33-year-old Randolph Holder. At a late-night news conference, Police Commissioner Bill Bratton talked frankly about the loss of Holder and 3 other cops in recent months.
4 police officers murdered in 11 months. That's about as bad as it gets. Holder had responded to a report of a bicycle stolen at gunpoint in East Harlem. It looks like Congressman Paul Ryan might become the next Speaker of the House. The Wisconsin Republican has said he'll consider the position if his colleagues agree to his conditions. He said his children's well-being made him reluctant to jump into the race initially. However, he says he decided in favor of a run because of what might happen if he didn't. New Mexico police say a 4-year-old girl is dead after a road rage incident in Albuquerque. The little girl was shot when gunfire broke out along I-40 yesterday. Toyota is recalling 6.5 million vehicles worldwide, including more than 2.5 million in North America. The recall is to fix a defect in a power window switch. This is USA Headline News.
Musicians, it's back. Guitar Center's massive price-slashing once-a-year blowout event, Rocktober. Don't miss the monstrous savings on guitars, drums, keys, DJ, pro audio, and more. Get a Mitchell acoustic guitar for just $99 or $200 off a Simmons electronic drum set, now just $4.99. Skip the party store and get everything you need to amp up your Halloween at Guitar Center with DJ-quality black lights and laser effects or a 400-watt fog machine, just $29 each, Thursday through Sunday only at Guitar Center. Boop!
Did you know the government is scheming to seize your retirement and bank accounts? Hi, David Fisher, CEO of Landmark Capital Gold Group. Get the facts in a white paper called How to Protect Your